Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Carly Pierce, it's good to see you again. I feel like it wasn't that long. I mean, you were just in the studio. You very kindly stopped by the studio in the middle of a whirlwind C2C weekend when you were over. But you've been, as always, you've been busy since then, I assume.
Yeah, I kind of feel like C2C started our year and we haven't slowed down. So we're in the thick of it and kind of down to the wire of album release.
Yes, this is super exciting. Hummingbird. And you have been, thank you for giving us quite a few songs to get us ready for Hummingbird. You've snuck out a few of them, right? I mean, the latest that, and I know you're not releasing it as like a proper kind of radio single, but Carly, I'll be honest, we loved it so much. I've been playing it, Faultline. It's so good.
Thank you. That one for me, I feel like this album, I got to just really go even harder into who I am as an artist. And I grew up loving traditional country music. My grandparents, they loved country music. They instilled in me that, you know, if I was going to sing country music, I needed to know who came before me. And so they would buy me these CD sets that were all different decades of country music. And I feel like this song is really representative of everybody who came before me. And it, to me, sounds like what Tammy Wynette and George Jones might sing in 2024 as a duet.
I love that you say that, because one of the things that I love about you as an artist, and I know that so many people connect about this, is that you are certainly a modern artist doing your own thing, but the traditional underpinning and the respect for the artists and the music that came before you always seems to be woven through what you're doing. And that's not always the case. So I think that's a really lovely thing.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without that music. And it's fun to kind of try to figure out ways to incorporate those sounds into modern country.
Because, you know, there are a lot of artists that will just go down a very straight traditional route, and there'll be new artists that literally sound old. And I do love that as well. And then, of course, the other end of that is, you know, taking it in a whole new direction. But even though you do have that traditional thing running through and that respect running through, you aren't afraid to take risks either. You aren't afraid to make something your own. It's not like you're trying to necessarily just recreate that sound as it was. Like, you are definitely doing your own thing. So I think that probably takes... Well, I don't know. That's probably an innate thing from you because you grew up with that. But also, you know, that takes balls to do that as well.
Yeah, I think for me, I have to write and record music that I believe in. And so I've never put out a song that I didn't stand 100% behind. And so I think when I'm writing things, especially as I've been fortunate enough to have some success and see that people do care about my point of view and my perspective and all these things, you kind of just have to really go for it, I guess. And if I'm gonna put my name on it, I want it to be 100% me. And so I'm not really thinking about the outside opinions of people. You know, I love modern country music too. So I think there's just naturally that kind of blend of that. But it does definitely, especially on songs like Faultline or Hummingbird, like you can definitely influences come from.
The thing about, I guess, being from Kentucky as well, and your grandparents, is like that stuff is just part of your DNA. You know, you probably couldn't get away from it, even if you tried. A lot of times, and you can kind of tell, I think, as a listener, when an artist is trying to do something to fit what's popular as opposed to do something that is authentic to them. Because, and I get it, you know, everybody's trying to kind of make a noise and break through and be seen and be heard. But there doesn't seem to be, even though everybody will tell you there's loads of rules, ultimately what punches through is like good, authentic music and storytelling. Because there are so many times that a song will punch through or an artist will punch through and you'll look at it and you think, well, now they've just rewritten the rules. They're going to be the ones that everybody now is telling everybody else to be like. And so it really just does, I think, always kind of reinforce the be yourself thing.
For sure. I think a really good example for me, and enough time has passed from this song that I can say this now, but my single Closer to You was totally not me at all. And it really wasn't my choice to be a single, but it became a single. And I think that's a great example of it didn't really work because it just wasn't me. And it's not to say that it wasn't a good song or it didn't sound good, but it just, I didn't believe it. And I think you just know when an artist really believes what they're doing and what they're saying. And I think now more than ever over the last 4 or 5 years, it has been like my goal, like non-negotiable, whatever I put out, it has to be 100% me.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that one, were you able to go back to your team and be like, I told you so?
You have to grow in your trust of your team and also grow in team trusting you as you have success. And I'm really lucky now in the position that I'm in. I mean, my record 29, I feel like no other record label would have let me start to put out that music because it was so artistic. And I feel like Scott Borchetta was like, we need to put this out because this is authentic. And I'm really grateful for that because it wasn't commercial, but look at the way that it worked versus like a straight down the middle commercial radio song.
Yeah. And, but also it was commercial in that it became such a huge hit and so many people connected to it and it spoke to so many people. So that's kind of what we were talking about, right? Like this whole rule thing, it just doesn't work as long as it's real and it's authentic. I mean, speaking of, Your album, Written in Stone, I mean, that was so personal in so many different ways and also a little bit of a rule breaker as well. But then Hummingbird comes along and you've said that it's your most personal album. I mean, you just keep digging in deep. You're not afraid of kind of revealing that stuff, are you?
I feel like my first two records had moments of really me being authentic, but I think that through line came with that album. And it was kind of like when I made that choice to start writing about that, I really didn't know if I was going to put that music out, but I knew I needed to say it in its full entirety and really not be afraid to speak the truth of it. And 29, the song, was one of the first ones that we wrote for the record. And, you know, it says the year I got married and divorced, which you don't really hear that in songs. And I think that was kind of the start of me going, oh, I need to really dig deep and not be scared of my story because I've seen the way that so many people have related to this album, maybe that didn't go through a divorce or maybe they did, but just that authenticity that humanizes me with fans. And so when I started making this record, it's not a concept album, thank God, like 29 was, but you know, I think I could have easily been like, and now everything's great and yeah. How life goes, and that's not how a healing journey.
But also, I think people like in art, especially, I think people kind of expect it to have moved on, you know. And not that you haven't moved on as a person and learned things, but it's like anything, like grief or divorce or any kind of major life thing. It's not like you have a season of that, and then like the next year, you're like, oh, that was last year. I'm all good. Yeah, you do move on, and things get easier or whatever. But that is stuff, these major life things, they are things that you carry with you like for a very long time. It just evolves on how you deal with them and how you feel about them. So I actually think it's quite great that like Hummingbird is still kind of in some ways and the some of the stuff that I've heard dealing with that stuff, but just dealing with it in a different way.
Totally. And I mean, you know, it's been almost 3 years since this album 29 came out. But it's also been 4, 5, 6 years since these things happened to me. So I've put my heart back out there. I've fallen in love again. So these stories, this is going on and continuing my life. This doesn't mean that these heartbreak songs are attached to that season. I mean, I have lived a lot of life since my divorce. And I think that it's important for people to understand, like, just because I'm not writing an entire album about like love doesn't mean that I haven't experienced love and experienced a lot of great things and continued to open my heart to that again, which I think is important. And you hear so many different things on this album. I was able to show a sassier side. I was able to show a fun side.
I mean, you were pretty sassy on 29 at points, Carly. Let's be honest. Come on.
It's just like a little bit more pointed than it is.
You know, you were saying like in 29, where you say the year that I got married and divorced. And when you were saying that, I was thinking there are country songs about marriage. There's country songs about divorce, but I think you're right. Like, that's the first time that it's like, hey, these things sometimes go together, y'all. So it was like things that country music has always talked about. But again, you were talking about them in a different way. And certainly you won't be the first artist who got married and divorced in the same year. But to be brave enough to put it in a song is something else. I think I know a lot of the country artists that have inspired you. Loretta Lynn, obviously, and you've talked about that lots and have a song about it. And you just mentioned Tammy Wynette. But who else were you listening to from your grandparents' record collection?
So they had tons of records. And like my grandpa loved Charlie Pride and George Jones. And we listened to a lot of bluegrass, so like Ralph Stanley. But I picked five that I felt like really meant something to me to showcase. So I have Loretta, Patsy Cline. She's another about those voices. I'm so drawn to tone and so drawn to people that are so identifiable by their voice. Johnny Cash, of course. I mean, I have a dog named Johnny and a dog named June. I feel like they were just so on the cutting edge of what was cool back then. And talk about somebody who kind of broke all of the barriers for just the music and what you were writing about and stuff. And then Tammy, her voice again, and she wrote songs, you know, like D-I-V-O-R-C-E, that I feel like were really forward for her time, but she was kind of unapologetically speaking about her life. And then Flatten Scruggs.
You know, all of those artists that you mentioned there, I mean, they are all boundary pushers. All of them now, today, we look back and everybody goes, well, there is country as cornbread, and there's no argument there. But each and every one of them, in their time, were pushing the boundary. You know, Loretta, the most banned artist on radio for a time. Johnny got loads of trouble because they said he was too rock and he was too rockabilly and he wasn't country. And Patsy Cline, they couldn't believe that she was putting strings on her album and that wasn't country. And so it just goes to show you, right, this argument about what is and what isn't country and how far you can push it, that's been going on for as long as country existed and continues today, whether people are talking about the Beyoncé album or they're talking about anything else. You know, people have always been arguing what is and what isn't country.
That's so true. And I think about, as a songwriter, Loretta's writing songs like The Pill. I mean, I don't know. I look at them and I go, I don't want to follow in line and be safe, because I feel like the true icons of any format push the boundaries and were authentic. And you can look at that now with people like Jelly Roll. Who would have ever thought that Jelly Roll would be such a force in our industry? But you look at his point of view and just what he's singing about is so important.
Yeah. He's a force for good, not just in country, but just in the world, I think.
He's pushing boundaries and, you know, all of those things. I don't think 10 years ago we thought that that was going to happen. Or even, you know, you look at somebody like Lainey Wilson, who aesthetically, we haven't had like a true cowgirl. I mean, like, she is a cowgirl and she's, and I don't know. I think it's a really, you look at the people that are really taking over and it's like they are very, very authentic to themselves and not chasing anybody.
But also 10 years ago, Carly, I mean, Jelly Roll wouldn't even have been considered country. You know, like what we have opened ourselves up to and what is country is so much broader than it was even 5 years ago. You know, again, people will argue about what it is and what isn't country, but there are so many artists that are now part of what we do, you know, whether that's Zach Bryan or whether that's Jelly Roll or whether that's Beyonce. Like, it seems like that everybody's kind of opening up a little bit to more sounds in country and more types of people in country. And I just think that's a good thing all around, because there's always something for somebody in country music.
For sure. And I mean, I've been out for almost 8 years now. And I would say right now is the most, since I moved to Nashville 15 years ago and started to be played on the radio 8 years ago, this is the most I have felt like I had a place, meaning true traditional country music is cool.
Yeah.
And that hasn't always, I feel like when I came out with the scene, I was a bit of like the odd man out. And now it's so accepted and wanted. It's not the bro country world anymore.
Because then it was just all about bro country. Yeah. You're doing okay, Carly. You're doing okay. How are Johnny and June? You brought up your puppy doggies. How are they?
Oh my gosh, June's laying over there in her little bed.
Like a princess.
Princess that she is. Johnny's somewhere around here. They're so great. They've been with me for a couple weeks now, and they go on tour and they try to bite Mr. Tim McGraw. It's great.
He can handle it. Mr. Tim McGraw can handle it. When you were over for C2C, obviously you did C2C, but you did a lovely little showcase that I hosted. Maybe it was a night or two before, and you sang the song My Place. And talk about personal, and also looking at a scenario that a lot of people find themselves in but don't know how to express. So it's not just you kind of working through that stuff for yourself. It's almost like you're giving voice to loads of people working through that stuff. And that's such a special gift to have.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that song in particular felt like I just needed to write it. I had had a dream that this particular relationship was going to end before it did. And I went into the writing room that day and kind of wrote as if it was happening. And it ended up happening, and I'm like watching this in real time. Social media makes it kind of hard to not want to know what your exes are doing. You still feel ownership to those relationships when you see somebody move on. It's hard to watch people be happy without you.
But also it's hard to not feel responsible for their happiness, oddly.
And especially as a female, it's like you deal with all these internal insecurities of like, what does she have that I don't? Or is she prettier than me? And it's like, I just think a lot of people can relate to that. No matter if you're in high school going through like your first breakup, or you're divorced and still see your ex on the internet. I mean, I've had people well, much older than me say, oh my gosh, this song made me feel something because of
because I mean those emotions don't change whether you're 19 or whether you're 55. You can still have heartbreak and you can still have self-doubt and question yourself and all that. So it really is a universal song, I think, that so many people can relate to. You love a duet, Carly. You love a duet, and they do so well. I mean, all of your duets are so special. I mean, the latest is with Chris Stapleton, We Don't Fight Anymore. I remember when we had Lee Bryce on the show, when your duet was out, and I was asking him about that. He was like, well, that was Carly's song, and she asked me to do it, and I said yes. And was that the same situation with Chris? It was your song and you're like, hey Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this song and I didn't write it like thinking in my head, I'm gonna ask Chris Stapleton to sing this song with me. It was actually like never gonna be a duet. I wrote it and I sang the demo and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I hear Chris Stapleton singing on this song. And that's, I mean, my feelings of wanting to write a song with Ashley McBride or wanting to write a duet and then asking Lee, like, these are all just like feelings that I get, but I listen to them when they come to me.
Do you ever think you're psychic, Carly Pierce?
Yeah, definitely not. I think I know. I feel like when I say to my team, like, trust me, I know this, they listen.
Okay.
I know.
But I mean, you had a dream, it came true, you have a feeling about duets. I feel like maybe, like if you had a neon sign on Broadway for palm reading, I would absolutely go in and have my palm read by Carly Pierce.
You imagine? But yeah, I mean, I didn't want my team to reach out to Chris, so I DM'd his wife on Instagram and I just said, this is super weird and I totally get if he doesn't want to do it. I just would love for Chris to hear this song and see if it speaks to him. And
it spoke to him, and now it's speaking to all of us. I love that you said, you know, you text saying if he wants to do it, he doesn't have, you know, because I think that it's so important for people to hear people like you say that, because there are so many times that everybody can relate to where they're texting somebody for something, whether it's a favor or just something that they think they would love this person to do with them, but they have a little bit of like, can I ask this person to do that? And I want to give them an easy out to do it. And I think that that is so important for people to hear, that even Carly Pierce is a little bit like, you know, I totally get it if you don't want to do it. Because I think that it's easy for people to look at people in your position and go like, oh my God, if I was her, my life would be sorted out. And I think that's why it is so important, not only the songs that you put out that let people know that that's not the case, and telling stories like that, people can relate to that. And I just think that's such a special thing that you're able to do in life and in music.
I still have to shoot my shot just like everybody else. Got to slide into the DMs sometimes and just hope for the best.
And just before I let you go, when we were in the studio, you were talking about how much you love Wicked. the show. And I think at that point, the trailer wasn't out yet. Now that the trailer, or one of the trailers, is out, how are you feeling about the film adaptation of your favorite musical, Wicked?
I think it's going to be incredible. It just looks epic. I don't know. I mean, that's the only word that I can say. I'm very excited.
Are you not furious though? You have to wait. We have to wait an entire year in between.
That was mean. It almost felt as mean as when I told everybody over in the UK that I was coming in a year.
Oh, yes. So February, we don't have, but now it'll be here before we know it. We're so excited for this. You're coming back in February. What is your message for UK fans?
You guys blew my mind at C2C. I had never experienced anything like that. And it would feel wrong if I did not come back and give you a proper tour of this album that I've worked so hard on. And I know it's going to be so fun. And February will be here before we know it. And I know it's going to be so special. So I'll see you then.
Cannot wait. Carly, thank you for saying howdy. And I will look forward to seeing you at CMA Fest and then over here on your tour in February. Thanks, Carly.
Thank you.
The Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.